Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Chaf Ted Amar Aleph, 6 lines down. The Gemara is continuing to discuss the machloka we saw between Rav and Rav Kahana with regards to mechsa amechsa. When someone shechs half of a siman, what is the din there? Is mechsa amechsa kerov, which is the view of Rav? Or is mechsa amechsa ena kerov, which is the view of Rav Kahana? So the Gemara brings here Tashma. Hare shaya chatzi kane pagum. If already half of the trachea was cut, we know that that's not a trefa. That's okay. Then v'hosif alav koshuhu. And then you added on a smallest amount, v'gamero. And then he finishes off the shkita, shkitato kshera. Then his shkita is fine. V'amart mechsa mechsa kerov, trefa avyo. If you say that 50-50 is already a rove, then the fact that the trachea was already cut in half means that you already got into the rove, and it would be pasul because of trefa. So amarava, shiny, the inyan trefa, dminan rove, hanira le'enayim. The way it works with the trefot is that when you require rove in trefa, you require a rove hanira le'enayim. The way Rashi describes it over there is kloma rove gamur shehu nikar. It has to be a full-fledged rove that is visible or recognizable. Pashtut the lashon of Rashi is that he requires what's called rove hanikar. That is a concept that we find in the Gemara and Brachot with regards to zimun, that when you need 10 people for a zimun, you have to have at least a certain number that ate bread in order to have the Shem Elokeini be used for 10. So over there it says you need ruba de minkora. You need a robe that is noticeable. So that means you can't have 6 people. You have to have 7 people because it's clear then that you have the majority of individuals who have washed, and therefore the benching with the 10 includes those individuals, and that's what's machria. So to over here, rova nikar or ruba de minkora would imply that it's not just 51%. It means some number where, looking at it right away, you know that you've cut the rove. You don't have to check. You don't have to measure it. It's something that, by visual recognition, you could see that it's a rove. That would be the pashtut of Rashi's Lashon. And that's the way the Taz reads Rashi's Lashon, that it really requires ruba de minkura, a visible rove. On the other hand, the Ramban, it's interesting, the Ramban clearly argues on Rashi, but the Ramban himself seems to say it in the Lashon of Rashi, and he seems to say that Rashi's explanation is like this, Perush the Perusho. He says, I want to explain what he says. Lafuke mechsa mechsa shene kerov. Comes to exclude a case of mechsa mechsa, which is not kerov. Shkoshu yoter mi mechsa nira le'anayimu. Anything that's more than 50%, by definition, is nira le'anayim. Ve'ein Perusho kinyan shamru b'b'chot. It's not like they say in the Gemara and Brachot of Ruba de Minkara be'inan. That is Rov Gadol shenikar me'rachok. You can see that from a distance. You don't need any discernment to know that. Teda da'agabi trefa na'amarminon. Debinan Rov hanira le'anayim. Ben safek shekoshu yoter mi'mechsa ben b'chut ha'shidra ben b'kanepa gum trefa. And it's clear that when we say over here that a Rov and trefa is posel, nobody thinks that you need a Ruba de Minkara. Ruba and Eirale and Ayim means that, oh, if it's just a little over 50%, it's not a trefa. That's not true. He says if you're a little over 50%, that's a rove and you're a trefa. There's no question. It doesn't have to be a ruba de minkara rove in order for you to be a trefa. And therefore, he says that rove and Eirale and Ayim means that it is a real rove and not a halachic rove. Mechsa mechsa is deemed kerov. That's a halachic rove. When you go over that, achut asara, any amount over that, that's a rove and nira le'enayim, because it's no longer a deemed rove, it is the rove. And that's how the Ramban explains it, not like what we're saying here in Rashi, but rather, any amount that's over the 50% line, that's a rove hanira le'enayim, and that's a requirement by the inyan of trefot. It's 50-50, it's not a deemed rove. With regards to trefot. By trefot, the Torah says, or the Halacha of Moshe Sinai says, you need a rove. A rove means a rove, a real rove, not a rove or a deemed halachic rove. So right now, the way the Gemara is looking at this is that there'll be a distinction between trefot and shchita. By shchita, the din is you can't leave a rove over. So over there, the deemed rove will work, because that's not an issue of trefot. By trefot, the din is not that you can't leave whatever's over, it's you need a rove to be a trefa. That rove has to be a nira le'enayim. According to the Ramban, that means a rove that is a, not a halachic rove, but a real rove. Or for Rashi, it seems even to be more expensive, which is a rove in the nira le'enayim, which means that it's a rove that you can visibly see without having to do any measurements to determine the rove. Amale Abayi, below kol dechenu. And Abayi responds and it says, isn't it a kal v'chomer? Uma trefa debimashu mitrefa. So by a trefot, we find in certain instances, even a mashahu makes something into a trefa. Hecha debinin ruba, binan rova nira le'enayim. Then when we require a rove, we require a rove nira le'enayim. Shchita, da'ad ika ruba lo mitkasha. Shechita is never kasher, just what they koshu. You need to get the robe for that. Lo koshkein to be in a robe near aleinayim. Then certainly you should require a robe near aleinayim. It's much easier to make a treifa than it is to complete the shechita. So since treifa has standards sometimes that are much lower, even a koshu, a nekev, can make you into a treifa, then when it has a demand for rov, it demands a rov in nirah le'anayim, shechita that's never kasher below the threshold of rov, certainly should require a rov hanirah le'anayim. And there the Gemara goes, Ella. Ella means we're rejecting everything we said until now. The kuliyama mechsa mechsa ena kirov. Everybody agrees that 50-50 is not kirov. Now that does present a problem because, as the Baal Tosafot note over here and other Rishonim note over here, the Gemara doesn't abide by this other places in Shas. If you come to the conclusion here in the Gemara, Meksa, Meksa, Ena Karov, anywhere in Shas, you have other areas in Shas, including Eruv, by the case of Omeid, Meruba La Parutz, where you have more standing fence than you have open space. Over there we say if it's 50-50, you can carry over there. That's one place where we invoke it. And we also invoke it in the principles of Pschach by the Sukkah. So Tosfot over here says, V'hanya nira l'chalek, ben shari surim, b'davar hataluy b'chiyut. He says, the way I would distinguish, Tosafot says, is other Isurim versus life force. By life force, that's where we say, Mechsa Mechsa Eina Kirov. When we're dealing with living beings, things that deal with animals, there we don't say Mechsa Mechsa Rov. Inanimate objects, there we can say Mechsa Mechsa is deemed Kirov. That's the first distinction the Baalei Tosafot make. But then he says, the problem is, the Gemara over here brought the case of Kli Cheres, of an oven, breaking an oven in half. And over there, the Gemara also says, Mechsa, Mechsa, Eina Karov over there as well. So now we have an inanimate object where the Gemara is also saying, based on our sugya here, that it's Eina Karov. Because the Gemara is saying, in all cases, we say Eina Karov, and the Gemara brought that case over here. So Tosafot says, that undermines my distinction that I wanted to make. He says, V'shema yesh lechalek, tahacha isur vituma. Because over here, we're dealing with isur with regards to trefot, and by the Kli Cheres, we're dealing with tum'a. And over there it's dealing with fencing and uprights. Maybe that's different than Tuma and Isur. That's a secondary distinction that Tosafot makes. He's trying to come up with some way to distinguish between the cases here and the cases there. And he does leave a Tema in general. He says, our Gemara over here only brings the case of Kli Cheres and that of Shechita. The Gemara in Erevin only brings cases of Erevin, of Amud and Parutz, and then the Gemara in Bechorot brings cases with Egla Rufa. But he says none of the sugyot bring all of the cases together. So he says that seems to demonstrate that there must be some distinction between the cases, the fact that the gemarot don't overlap and bring the cases here and there. And that's why he thinks that there is a distinction. The Maharam Mirutenberg makes a suggestion that the question at hand is what determines whether Mechsa Mechsa Kerov. Over here by Trefot and by Shechita, the question is, did you shecht a rov? Is the treifa big enough to be a treifa? Because what we always say is that the item that is stationary, the item that is already in place, governs unless you undermine that chazaka. So over here, if you have a siman, then the siman is the stationary item. Your shechita, or the treifa affecting it, now is trying to undermine the status quo. You want to undermine the status quo, you better have a rov to be mevatel, what is in place already. On the other hand, by mechitzot, it's just the opposite. The standing mechitzot are what are the stationary item that are there, and you're afraid that the parutz is mevatel, which is omeid already. That the parutz, that which is the open space, is going to be mevatel, the standing mechitzot. So over there, mechsa mechsa will work because you need something greater to override the standing mechitzot. So there you'll need a rov to override. That means mechsa mechsa, it'll still be considered that the omeid is in place, and you do have mechitzot. Over here, where the standing or the stationary item is the siman itself, then the cutting of the siman needs to override the stationary item. That's why you need a rov over here. So that's how the Maharam Mirutenberg deals with the distinction between the two of them. Or you can make a distinction with regards to a ravin because of the fact that they are dinei derabanan versus issues that are dinei doraita. And maybe in dinei derabanan, we're willing to say mechsa mechsa kerov. Whereas by dinei doraita, we're not willing to say Mechsa, a Mechsa Kirov. Or, you have to say here that the Gemara is only saying this within the world of Shechita. Gemara is not making a grandiose statement that all Mechsa, Mechsa is deemed not Kabir Kirov. It's particular to the Halacha of the Moshe Misinai that comes from Shechita. And many of these issues are not issues where we have a pasuk that's telling us the information. These are all dinei misora, and therefore halacha de Moshe Mitzrayim is by shkita. Mechsa mechsa is eino kerov, but that doesn't mean that the implications are, or that the outcome is that in every other situation you're going to say mechsa mechsa is not deemed kerov. Those are a number of ways to deal with the fact how that we've changed what we've said, but it's not necessarily consistent in the remainder of Shas. Now, v'chi itmar derav derav kahano, so then where is the machloket rav and rav kahano by mechsa mechsa? That is the inyan pesach itmar. That's regards to a pesach haba betumah. What happens if, haray, shayu yisro mechsa torim or mechsa tmeim, happened to be going into pesach, 50% of the korban pesach bringers were tahor, 50% were tmeim. We have a principle that ish is nidcheh the pesach sheni. If you're an individual and you're tamei, you get pushed off to pesach sheni. If you are not an individual, meaning if you're a tzibur already, then you don't get pushed off to pesach sheni. From that, we have the din that if individuals are tmeim, then they get pushed off to pesach sheni, and everybody else does pesach rishon b'tahara. If the majority of people are tmeim, then we say that we do pesach rishon b'tumah, and everybody does pesach rishon b'tumah. We don't worry about it at all. It's a pesach haba b'tumah because we don't allow for the tmeim to be pushed off to pesach sheni because they're no longer an ish. They are the tzibur. They are the majority at this point. But now we have a situation in which it's 50-50. So what do you do in this situation? Rav Amar, mechsa mechsa kirov. At 50-50, deems it kirov. And that means now, if mechsa mechsa kirov, the tohorim then have to do their own, and the tmeim have to do their own. Because the tmeim are a rov, that means they can't be pushed off to pesach sheni. The tohorim are also a rov, which means that they can't commingle with those that are doing a bituma. And that means now you're going to have two separate korbanei pesach that are brought on pesach rishon. You're going to have all the tahor people bring their korbanei pesach bitahara, and then you're going to have all the tamei people bring their korbanei pesach bituma, because both of them are deemed kerov, but they're both a rov, so they can't offset each other. They can't override each other. That's the view of Rav. Rav Kahana Amar, mechsa mechsa ain't a kerov. That's not a rov. And if that's an ainu kerov, then the tmeim go to pesach sheni, because they're not deemed to be a tzibur, they're an ish ish. They go to pesach sheni, and the tohorim who remain, they're also not a rov, but they can bring their korban pesach on pesach rishon. There's no limitation on them bringing on pesach rishon. So the question is, what's the story with regards to the tmeim? Both of them, the tohorim, bring it on pesach rishon. The question is, what is the status of the tmeim? For Rav, the tmeim bring it also as pesach rishon as a separate chabura. For Rav Kahana, the tmeim are pushed off to pesach sheni, and the Gemara in Pesachin is actually two lishonot in Rav Kahana, whether they cannot bring it at all. They're pushed out of both situations. They're not an ish, so they can't bring it on pesach sheni. They're not a tzibur, so they can't bring it on pesach rishon. Or do we say that they are deemed to be enim kerov, and therefore they're like an ish, and they can bring it on pesach sheni? Bahata mai taima, the Rav over there, what's Rav's reasoning? Dichtiv ish ish, ki etameh lenefesh. It says there, an individual is tamei nefesh. Ish nidche ben tzibur nidachim. Only individuals are pushed off, but once you're already not an individual anymore, at 50-50, you're not an individual, you are a significant part of the tzibur. You may not be the rov yet, but you're still significant enough that you're no longer an ish. You're not the minority. Therefore, you're not nidche the pesach sheni, and that's why he demands that they bring it on pesach rishon as a separate chabura. But then that's a unique din within the world of pesach, and does not have the normal dinim of mechsa mechsa kirov, right? Rov echad ba'of. So if you remember in the Mishnah, we noted already when we read the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, the Mishnah begins, Shocheda echad ba'of v'shnai bebeima, shchitato k'shira, then rubo shel echad kamo. They have one statement at the beginning of the Mishnah, that rov of a siman is the equivalent of a complete siman. Then, at the end of the Mishnah, it says again, rov echad ba'of, v'rov shnai bebeima, shchitato k'shira. So there's a repetition clearly in the Mishnah, which is Rubo Shalachad Kamahu is mentioned both in the Reisha and in the Seifa. And that's what the Gemara is trying to deal with here. Why is there a duplication? Which is Rov Echad Ba'of, which is the latter part of the Mishnah, Tanina Chadazimna. We already have that at the beginning of the Mishnah, which is Rubo Shalachad Kamahu. So then why do you need it to be repeated twice within the Mishnah? Amar Rav Hoshaya, Chada B'chulin V'chada B'kodoshim. The Mishnah is dealing with two different issues. One is Chulin, one is Kodoshim, Mitzricha. And I need you to tell me that Rov works Kekulo in all of these situations. The E, Ashmin and Chulin, Hatamu desagile beruba, Mishum dalab ledam hu tzarich. The reason that Rov works over here by the Chulin is because you don't need the blood. You need the blood to drain out. You don't need to capture the blood. So over there, maybe rove is enough. Aval kodoshim de la dam hu tzarich, by kodoshim, where the whole purpose of the kodoshim is for the dam to do this, kabbalat adam, to do this rikat adam, over there you would require a full-fledged shechita all the way through the simanim. Ema lo tiskele beruba adike kule. It's not enough to do the rove. You need to do the entirety of the shechita. Biyashminen kodoshim mishum de la dam hu tzarich. If you told me ruba kukula works by kodoshim, I would have thought that's because by kodoshim you need the blood. Aval chulin de la dam lo tzarich, by chulin where you don't need the dam, ema bepalgas agile. Maybe it would be enough at 50-50. Mechsa mechsa would be deemed then kerove. Kamash balan, that you need a rove in both cases. So by kodoshim, the chiddush is you don't have to do a full siman, you can do a rove. The chiddush by chulin is that chetzi is not enough, you need a rove. It's interesting only because the Gemara just concluded before that everybody agrees mechsa mechsa is enam kerov. Here the Gemara says that's a havamina that you would have thought otherwise. Kamash malan is that it's not the case and you do need a rove in both of these scenarios. Now the Gemara asks an interesting question. Hei b'chulin v'hei b'kodoshim. Which one is dealing with chulin and which one is dealing with kodoshim? The truth is, it shouldn't matter. The duplication in of itself is sufficient to tell you that we have two things in mind. So you will see as the Gemara progresses that there are certain dinim that only apply to the reisha, and there are certain dinim that apply to the seifa. And depending where you think the chulin is versus the kodoshim, will have implications with regards to those halachot. And that is Amar Rav Kahana, mistavra reisha bechulin, b'seifa bekodoshim. It makes sense that the first statement in the Mishnah, rubu shel echad kemohu, was a reference to chulin, and the latter part where it says rov echad and rov shnayim is referring to kodoshim. Mimai, why do you say that? Miktani, because the Mishnah begins Hashochet. V'isagadatcha the reisha b'kodoshim. Well, the Mishnah begins Hashochet. If they were starting about kodoshim, it should say Hamolek mi ba'ilei. Should have started out with molek, because kodoshim, a bird, requires milika and not shchita. So why are you starting out with Hashochet? It should be Hamolek, and it should say Hamolek echad ba'of, and then afterwards Hashochet shnayim bebehema. The Gemara says Elamai seifa b'kodoshim. Then what are you going to do about the Sefer? The Sefer says, Shchitato Ksheira. It says, oh, the Shchita was a good Shchita, b'diavad, if you do, Rov Be'achad and Rov Be'shnaim. Milikato Ksheira mi ba'ile. The Sefer should also say, Milikato Ksheira. Why is it saying, Shchitato Ksheira? Halokasha. That's not really a problem. I did the Selek mi Be'hema. Because there it ended off with Be'hema, Taninami Shchitato Ksheira. There it ends the statement with Shchitato Ksheira, which is a reference to the last statement. Eresha Michte Al Ov Koi. The ratio begins with Oaf, Itzakadatcha b'kodoshim. If it really was speaking about kodoshim, Amolek mi ba'ile. Should have started out with Amolek. So what it's pointing out is, if the beginning is about kodoshim, it should have said Amolek echad ba'of, u shochet shnayim bebehema. Because Oaf is starting out the Mishnah. So then you would say Molek was a reference. You can't say, oh, he brought a shochet because of behema. That's the second item mentioned in the Mishnah. On the other hand, in the latter half of the Mishnah, it says, Rov echad ba'of, Rov shnayim bebehema, shchitato ksheira. There you can use shchita and say atu behema is bringing shchitato ksheira because of the fact that it ended with the word behema. And that's the proof that Rav Kahana brings that the reisha is about chulin and the seif is about kodoshim. Rav Shimi Barashi Amar reisha b'chulin mehocha. I can prove to you the reisha is dealing with chulin. Diktani echad ba'of, saying one by of. Isagadata b'kodoshim, ha'ika ulata of. Dibai shnei simanim. Wait a minute. If you're dealing with kodoshim, that's not always true that one is enough by oaf. Sometimes you need two by oaf, like by the olata oaf. Elamai, seifa b'kodoshim? Then what are you going to do with the seifa? The seifa says, rov echad ba'of. Ha'ik olata oaf, dubai shnei simanim. Why does the seifa do any more for you than the reisha? The seifa also says that rov echad ba'of is enough. My rov echad? You're reading rov echad wrong. Rov kol echad ve'echad. That is a language that can have two meanings. Rov echad can mean rov of one siman. A rov echad can mean rov of each siman. And that's how we're going to read the seifa. When you say rov shel echad, we're going to say that means in of either one siman or two simanim, depending if it's a chatat of or lat of. And that is then captured in the seifa, which is not true in the reisha. Ubedinu delitnei rov shnayim. The truth is, it should have written rov shnayim because of a lat of. But there is the chatat. If you wrote rov shnayim by the birds, then you have a problem because then you're not capturing chatatov. So mishamachi lo psikale. So therefore, since it wasn't definitive, you couldn't write rov shnayim. You couldn't write rov of one. You wrote a language that can capture both, which is rubo shel echad, which means either the rov of one siman or the rov of each siman, and that captures both aspects of the birds over there. What's interesting over here is that the Gemara says that it should have really said Rov Shnayim and not Shnayim. It says a machloket that we saw before between the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon as to how much you need to do Malika on Olat Ov. The Chachamim believe they have to cut through both Simanim entirely, whereas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon said you just have to get through the Rov of Shnayim. The fact that the Gemara says over here Rov Shnayim makes it sound like this is a liba de Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, not a liba de the Chachamim. It's just an interesting note. Although you possibly could argue over here when it says Rov Shnayim, here it's saying, thinking about Rov, not in the context of Rov being the completion, but rather Rubo Kukulo. And therefore, Rubo Kukulo here would be deemed to be Kulo. Although we know the Chachamim say, don't say that by Olat Ov. They require a full two simanim, but maybe that's a way to get out of the problem. Right? Rav Papa Amar, here's a third attempt to prove where the Chulin and Kodashim are mentioned in our Mishnah. Reisha b'chulim mihocha. The Tani Rav Yehuda Omer, Achi Shchot Davridim. I can prove to you that the Reisha Smeim HaChulin, because there is where Rabbi Yehuda interjects and says, Shechita is not enough, you need to also cut the veins or the arteries to allow the blood to flow out by the Ov. Upligei Rabbanan Alei. And there the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they say, does it matter if you do it now, or does it matter if you do it after Shechita? Yeah, you have to drain the blood, but who says you have to cut it at the Zman of Shechita? That was the claim that we saw yesterday for the Chachamim. It makes sense that the Chachamim would argue in Chulin with regards to this matter, because there you don't need the dam. You just need to drain the dam. So, Mali, I do it at Shechita, Mali, I do it later. Why would you say that Rabbanan would argue on Rabbi Yehuda in the Shechita of Kodoshim? That's the whole purpose of the Kodoshim, is for the dam. As Rashi says, Kol atzma v'ikrash l'shechitat Kodoshim l'dam hi tzricha. The only purpose of Shechita by Kodoshim is to get the dam from the animal. And therefore it makes sense for the Chachamim. Why would they disagree with cutting the Vridim to maximize the blood flow at that time? Dam is the crucial element both in the Kapara aspects as well as any Makshevet Psul has to happen during Avodat Adam. The Avodat Adam, dam is everything. Shechita is just a facilitator to get the dam. And therefore the Chachamim are going to agree that cutting the Vridim makes sense over there, and they wouldn't argue in Kodoshim. So the fact that they argue on the Reisha and not the Seifa shows you that the Reisha is about Chulin and the Seifa is about Kodoshim. That's one of those items that I mentioned before. It makes a difference where you think the Machloket is. Cutting of the Vridim, or Rabbi Yehuda's argument about Vridim, depending on whether you associate with Chulin and Kodoshim, obviously has nafkaminot as to what the Rabbanon believe with regards to Chulin or Kodoshim in the cutting of Vridim. So this is one of those halachot that only applies in the Reisha, doesn't necessarily apply in the Seifa. Vashi Amar, Seifa b'Kodoshim, Meocha. He says that the Seifa is talking about Kodoshim from this, Tiktani. The next Mishnah upcoming says, the first line of it is, Ashochet Shnei Roshim Keachad, Shechitato Ksheira. Someone who shechs two animals simultaneously, that Shechita is Kasher B'diavad. Ashochet Di'avad in L'chatkila Lo. That's only B'diavad it works, L'chatkila it doesn't work. Yemar Bishlama Kodoshim. If we're speaking about Kodoshim, then Haidu L'chatkila Lo. That's why you would say l'chatkila, it is a problem. B'diavad, we allow it. Mishom. Because we have a limud that indicates that. So what he's pointing out is that the next Mishnah, as we'll see in 1 second, is speaking about Kodoshim at the outset. That's the beginning of Mishnah number 2 that we're going to get to in this parak. Mishnah number 1 in the parak ends with what topic? So he said, if it ends with the topic of Kodoshim, it makes sense that the beginning of the next Mishnah is also speaking about Kodoshim. On the other hand, if the latter part of the Mishnah was speaking about Chulin, why is it jumping to Kodoshim in the next Mishnah, if it spoke about Kodoshim first, then Chulin, and then back to Kodoshim? Doesn't make sense. Keep the topically relevant issues together. The Tani Rav Yosef, Tizbach. It says that you have to bring the Korban and do the Shechita. Shelo yeshnaim shochatim zevach echad. So Tizbach, in the singular, teaches you that two people can't shecht one Korban. It has to be a single individual. Tizbachuhu shelo yehe echad shochet shnei zvachim. That teaches you also that one person can't shech two korbanot together. What's the limud? That comes from Amar Rav Kahana, tiz bachehu k'tiv. So the way that it's written in the Torah, tiz bachuhu, had you written it out as a Korean k'tiv, that would be the same. You would have had tof, zayin, vet, chet, vav, hey, vav. You would have had two vavs in there, and that would be tiz bachuhu, which means you in plural should do the zvicha, you should do the shechita. But that's not what's written in the Torah. That's the way we pronounce it. That's the Kri. But the Ktiv is Tizbacheyu, which is you in singular should shech the Korban. So that's one limud. One limud is that you, as an individual, should shech the korban. So that teaches us one din, which is the tizbach din. The tizbach din is that you do the shkita, not two people doing the shkita. And then, since you could have used the word tizbach, and instead it uses tizbachu, we read the word who as being an additional word. It says tizbach, and then as if there's a pause, who? You should shech it. It, who, now is in a singular, and that means you can only shech one behemah at a time, not two behemot at a time. So that's the nature of the limud. Rashi makes it much more significant and says that this individual is subscribing to Eim LeMisoret, that they only darshan when you have a kri niktiv. They give precedence to the Misoret, which means the way it's written, and not the way the Mikra, where it's read, although many don't believe that that's the case here. It's a drasha because of the way the word is spelt versus the way it's pronounced, not because necessarily you subscribe to Eim LeMisoret, but just because of that nuanced difference, it gives you the ability to make the drasha, like we've seen the Baya Tosafot say in many places, that we darshan both the Kri and the Ktiv in numerous locations. Ela, Iyamart Bichulin, Afilu Chatkila Nami. Then why is it only Bidiyavad in the next Mishnah that you can shecht it by Chulin? We know that there is no restriction against shechting two animals at once. And so over here too, why wouldn't you say that it's Lechatkila? Okay, the fact that it says it's Bidiyavad means that it must be speaking about Kodoshim. At the beginning of the next Mishnah, which is really adjacent to the end of the previous Mishnah, speaking about Kodoshim, the tail of the first Mishnah should also be speaking about Kodoshim, and therefore the Reisha is Chulin, Seifa is Kodoshim. So that's another proof. Similarly, Rabbi Shimon Lakish also believes that that's the structure of the Mishnah because of some other din that we find with Rabbi Shimon Lakish. We already learned in the Mishnah that Rov of Echad is Kamo, which is the ratio of our Mishnah. Lama shaninu Rov Echad ba'ov for Rov Shnayim bebeima. Why does it repeat it later in the Mishnah that Rov 1 by an oaf and Rov 2 by beima is sufficient? The fish is shaninu, because we have a mitigating issue, which is heviolo et atamid. This is a Mishnah in Yoma. The Mishnah in Yoma says that when they bring the korban atamid to the Kohen Gadol on Yoma Kippurim, Kartzo, the Kohen Gadol does the Kartzo shchita, and then Merek acher shchitato yado, someone else takes over on his behalf at that point in time. Yochol lo Merek yehi pasul. You would think that if he doesn't finish it off on behalf of the Kohen Gadol, then it would be pasul. L'kach shaninu rov echad ba'ov for rov shnayim bebeima. That's what the latter half of our Mishnah is saying, is that by kodoshim, rov echad is sufficient, and rov shnayim is sufficient by beheima. And therefore, when you give it over from the Kohen Gadol to the other person to take over, as far as shchita is concerned in kodoshim, you are done. So he's just finishing it off. So now the Gemara is going to ask, okay, then why bother to finish it off? Which is amamar. Yochol lo merei kihei pasul. You would think if you didn't finish it off, it would be pasul. Imkein avyalei avodah b'acher. What do you mean? Then you're going to run yourself into a problem, which is all avodot of Yom HaKippurim have to be done by the Kohen Gadol. If you believe the Kohen Gadol did not finish the shchita, and someone else had to take over in order to complete the shchita, then you would have someone else involved in avodat Yom HaKippurim besides the Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol didn't finish what was necessary within this shchita. V'tanya, kol avodot Yom HaKippurim, einan ksherot ela bo. If it says V'tanya, it's a reference to the brayta that's brought in Horiot, which is that all the avodat Yom HaKippurim is only kasher with the Kohen Gadol. If it says V'tnan, which is the girsa of the shita mikubetzet, then it's a reference to the Mishnah in Yoma, that all the avodat Yom Kippurim can only be done by the Kohen Gadol. If that's the case, what's the Havamina to say that if this individual didn't finish off on behalf of the Kohen Gadol, it would be Pasul, that would indicate he's doing avoda. If he's doing avoda, then he's actually doing avoda on Yom Kippurim. The Balei Tosafot and all the Rishonim are bothered by this, because there is no restriction, first of all, with regards to Shechita, Zarim doing Shechita, so that's number one problem. Number two problem is that even by Shechita, if you believe that it has to be done by the Kohen Gadol, that's only by the Paro Shel Kohen Gadol. That's not necessarily by the Chulin items that are done on Yom HaKippurim. So why is there a problem at all? Even if it was Avodah Bacher, what exactly is the deficit in Avodah Shebacher? So he says, Ika manda savar afilu b'shechitat par Kohen Gadol bizar. Afilu manda pasal enu dafka paro, dekati lechuvah Yom HaKippurim. About Tamid, lo shayach lo chovat Yom HaKippurim. The Tamid has nothing to do with Yom Kippur. There's no demand for shkita yidei Kohen Gadol. Yesh lomar, dimo kol makom pasul mi derabanan. That's what it says. Maybe there's a pasul derabanan. The Torah says that the Kohen Gadol should do all the avodot that relate to Yom HaKippurim. Maybe even those that deal with chulin, but by shkita, which is kasher, bizarre, There, nobody thinks that the Kohen Gadol has to do it. And even the one who does think the Kohen Gadol has to do it, it's only by the power of the Kohen Gadol, not by any of the other Shechitot. So he says it's a Din Derabanan. The Rabbanan said the Kohen Gadol should do everything, not just the items associated with Yom Kippurim. That's the Tosafot solution. The Ramban, on the other hand, sees it as a more of a Din Doraita, which is that even though, in general, we would allow a Zar to do it, and there is no direct demand for the Kohen Gadol to do it, nevertheless, the theme of the day, and that which permeates the day, is the Kohen Gadol, and therefore we want to maximize the Kohen Gadol doing whatever avodot are there, because that is the nature of the day. And so, even if it's not required midoraita, we would prefer to do it that way, and we would opt for the Kohen Gadol doing it. So if it's just a little more for the Kohen Gadol to do it, why wouldn't he just finish it off and do it himself? That'd be the nature of the question.
The Rashi over here just takes a different approach and suggests that the power of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim becomes a paradigm for all the Abu Dhabi Yom Kippurim, and therefore there is a demand midoraita for all shechitot of the day to be done by the Kohen Gadol. And the Tosafot in Yoma suggests that the shechita over here is an extension of Kabbalah, and therefore, just like the Kabbalah has to be done by the Kohen Gadol, so too the shechita has to be done by Kohen Gadol, because it's a hechsher to the Kabbalah. Although that's a little strange, only because normally we don't make any such demand, even though there is a requirement for Kohen by Kabbalat Adam.
When it says, Achi Kamar, Yochol Yei Pasul Midrabanan. You would think it was Pasul Midrabanan. The Sakhadat Chamina Ika Pasul Midrabanan. I would think there's a Pasul Midrabanan. The Kach Shanino, Rov Echad Bo'ov, Rov Shnayim Bebeima. That Rov Echad Bo'ov, Rov Shnayim Bebeima, Vachar, Da'afilu Pasul Adrabanan Leka, Lamalei Namareik. If there's no psul derabanan, then why does the other guy have to finish it? So the Gemara goes, okay, you would have thought, and this is the Havamin and the Braita, that midoraita, you're done with the Shechita, that's the Kohen Gadol gets it because he's done it, and now we know the Kohen Gadol did it. No problems of avodat Yom Kippurim. Okay, the last piece that you want to finish off, maybe there's an Isur derabanan. And that's why you would need someone else to finish it off. Along comes along and says, no, there is no Isur derabanan. Well, if there's no Isur derabanan, then why is the guy finishing it off? There's no obligation to do it at all. So that's what Gemara says, Lamadli the Marek. Mitzvah the Marek. There is a mitzvah to do Marika, even though there's no Din Derabanan. So you have three stages over here. You have one stage, which is, we thought there might be a problem Doraita, that we wipe out, because otherwise there'd be a question about the Kohen Gadol doing an avodah on Yom Kippurim, with all the problems that associated with that, which we spoke about. The Gemara then moves on and says, okay, the Havmi of the Braita was not about Doraita, it was about Derabanan. Maybe there's a restriction Midrabanan, that the remainder has to be done, it seems, by the Kohen Gadol. Or, the way that the Balei HaTosafot suggested over here, is that the Din Derabanan was not a Din Derabanan that the Kohen Gadol should do it necessarily, but the Din Derabanan is that it would have looked like Shehiya. When you bring two people in to do the Shechita, it starts to look like Shehiya. So the Isur Derabanan over here is not a Din Derabanan that shouldn't do a Yedei Acher. That would be the Din Derabanan. What does it have to do with Rov Echad and Rov Shnayim? That's not the Din here, but rather it's a Din in Shechita. We might have thought to say, if you let someone else take over, it's going to look like there's a Shia in the Shechita, even though he's already done Rov. And the Kamash Malan is, Rov is done, and therefore there's no Din Derabonon. We're not worried about what people think about what he's doing here. So Lami the Marek, Mitzvah the Marek. So now the final stage is, even though there's no requirement Midrabanan, or no Isur Derabanan that you're trying to override over here, nevertheless we say that you have to do Marika. Rashi says, Mitzvah the Marek, Mishum Dam. So Rashi says the real reason is, by Kodoshim, we want to maximize the blood flow. Maximizing the blood flow means you want to cut as far as possible to get the maximum amount of blood. And that's what it means, mitzvah limarek. Then he brings, vanishamati, beyoma, mishum barovam hadrat melech. He says, because we want more participants in avodat yom ha-kippurim. And so bringing in another kohen to finish off the shechita makes it barovam hadrat melech. Rashi says that I don't think that's right. He says, in my heart of hearts, I don't believe that that's correct. Because he says, varei ha-katuv ikpid, bekohen gadol, begireshet rov ha'am. He makes two statements. He says, over that Yom Kippurim, the Torah specifies the Kohen Gadol must do it. And on the other side, it throws away the rest of the Am. It's a solo show on Yom Kippurim. There's nobody else invited in to do that. The Torah goes out of its way to say it's all about the Kohen Gadol and not about the Am. Even when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, it says that nobody's allowed to be Baal Moed at that time. I mean, that not only is it that they're not participating, they made sure to say that everybody's out, that nobody can be near there. And so he says, it doesn't make sense to me that here all of a sudden we want Barov HaMadr Melech, that the whole theme of the day is Kohen Gadol and not Am. And so that's why it doesn't make sense to give that answer. He thinks that the first answer is better. Now the Balei Tosafot say, wait a minute, in the Mishnah, we said before that even in Chulin, we prefer if you do a full-fledged Shechita. We said that even when we say Rov Shel Echad and Rov Shel Shnayim is sufficient, We still said that it's better to do a full siman or a full two simanim. So why is the Gemara only asking by kodoshim? Why do you want to go out to finish it off? We have to finish it off by chulin. So Tosfot says, you shouldn't have done it with someone else. So that's why, again, I said before, the Tosafot things that the Din Derabanan over here is not a question about finishing off the Shechita, meaning that we should have been Gozer, that he finishes off the Shechita. The Gzera was, Shema, it looked like Shehiya, which is the problem over here. By Chulin, you have to finish off the Shechita. So too, by Kodeshim, you have to finish it off. The Havamin would have been, well, here you bring in public someone else to finish it off, and it looks like Shia. Why would you do such a thing in a public forum when it's dealing with Kodoshim? Just finish it off like you would have to finish it off by Chulin. So that's the nature of the Din Derabanan, unlike others like the Ramban, who believe that the Din Derabanan is finishing off the Shechita over here. And that's because over here you have mitigating forces. Maybe the Din Derabanan would be that the Kohen Gadol should finish it off on Yom Kippur, because Kol Avodat Yom Kippurim is done by the Kohen Gadol. And putting someone else in there might undermine that view. Maybe there's someone else participating, even though, again, it's not a Din D'Oraita, but over here, Midrabanan, we want to maintain the theme of the day, which is only the Kohen Gadol does it. So that might have been a mitigating force to say, don't allow Acher to get involved. And the Kamash Malon is, we don't worry about that, and we allow someone else to be involved. For the reason that we didn't state yet, but the whole reason for all of this is because the Kohen Gadol has to do everything on Yom Kippurim. He's fasting, he was up all night, and he has to do all the avodah of that day, some of them very intricate and difficult. And to keep him going, to have him have strength for later in the day, we preserve his strength up front and say he just does what the minimum amount he needs to do with the Shechita, and let someone else take over to preserve his strength. So again, that's why we have someone else take over, even though it would just be simpler to have him do it. We want to preserve his energy. And then the reason we bring someone else in is because there's a mitzvah, the Marek, which we discuss now, which is it's better to end up with both of the simanim cut rather than just the rove of the simanim. All right, so next, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Mishum Levi Sabo. This will become very important later, we'll see. Shimon Lakish says in the name of Levi Sabo, Eina the Shechita ela besof. Even though Shechita is a process, the Shechita only happens at the end, at the termination of the Shechita. You have this problem anytime you deal with items that are a process. We have this by the melachot of Shabbat, for instance, baking or cooking on Shabbat is a process. Is the Isur the final stage, or is the whole process, zriyah, planting? Also, something that's a process, it's not an immediate effect. So anytime you have something that's a process, you have to ask this question, which is it something that exists over the entire process, or is it something that at the final termination, when you've completed everything, that's when the event takes place, that's when everything happens? We have a similar formulation, even though it's not exactly alike, by schirut, by rental. Is it schirut, or when workers work, meaning these are kablanim, do they earn it over the period of time? Or is it only basof, when you bring the final product, that's when you earn it? Or when you rent something out, do you earn the rent over that period of time on an accrual basis? Or is it that you earn it at the last moment? Once you've completed your obligation, that's when you earn the rent. So similar idea over here, by shechita, is it that the process of shechita is important? Or is it the termination? Once you've completed the Shechita, that's when it's important. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Yesh lan Shechita mitchila v'atzof. Rabbi Yochanan says Shechita exists over the entirety of the process of Shechita. And in one moment, we're going to see what the nafkamina is between them. Amar Rabba, Hakol modi mechid shachat siman achad oven kochavim v'siman acher Yisrael. If the first siman was done by a goy, and the second siman was done by Yisrael, shehi psula. Everybody agrees that's problematic. Because the action of the Oved Kochavim, which is not deemed to be Shechita, was an action that made the animal into a Treifa. Again, we've said before, if you make an animal a Treifa in the process of doing Shechita, that's not a problem. Because that's, by definition, Shechita makes it a Treifa on the way. But that's only if it's Shechita. What the Oved Kochavim did is nothing. It's not classified as Shechita, it's not even classified as the beginning of Shechita. So whatever he did was nothing. But his nothing already rendered the animal treifa. Now you want to come and shecht it, you're shechting a treifa. That doesn't help. So that's whether you believe there's shechita at the sof, shechita all the way along. Neither of those are impacted by this question. And therefore, Oved Kochavim is poselet. Bo latov nami, also by latov, heichad malik siman echad demato, v'siman echad demala psula. And also by olatov, if you do malika on one siman down below on the ground, and then you go on to the Mizbeach to do the second Siman, that also is problematic. Psula she'asaba maseh chatat ha'of lamato. because you did something that was sufficient to be deemed chatat of lamato. If you remember, we had a hekesh between umalak vehiktir, which says that in the makom of haktara, you do malika. So for olat ha'of, the haktara is up on the mizbeach. That means the malika ha'of of an olah is done on the mizbeach, up top on the mizbeach, above the chut ha'sikra. By the chatat ha'of, it truthfully doesn't really matter, but it makes more sense for you to be on the floor, only because the matnot dam are also on the floor. By the time you get down, if you did it up top, there may not be enough dam to do the matnot dam. So over there, chatat ha'of is done below, the olat ha'of is done above. So if in that scenario you do one siman of malika for an olat ha'of down on the ground, that has significance because you have done an action on this bird that is below one siman. That's already an action that has meaning in the Mikdash, which is a chatat ha'of that has one siman with malika down below. That's a significant act. That's an act that carries weight in the Mikdash. So even now when you go up and finish the second one up top, even though if you say, like Reish Lakish, that it's only at the end that Shechita happens, it doesn't matter because you did an act of significance down below. That significant act undermines the Shechita that happens later. Lo nechelku. So where is there machloket? Elo kagon sheshechat siman echad b'chutz, b'siman echad b'fnim. He does a malika, but here it's really Shechita. The reason it's Shechita is because even for Shechitat kodoshim b'chutz, the only thing you're chayav for is Shechita. Even though in the Mikdash it would be Malika, Malika Bachutz makes the things into Nevela and it has no impact. Only if you do Shechita on a bird of Kodeshim Bachutz is there any meaning to it. So that's what happened here. He did a Shechita of one Siman Bachutz, and then he did Siman Echad Bifnim, and then one Siman on the inside. The Manda Amar Yesh Shechita Mitchilav Atzov Michayev. According to one who says that Shechita is meaningful from beginning to end, Rabbi Yochanan, then over here you have a problem because he did a Shechita of one Siman outside, which is a significant act because it's a chatat ha'of with one siman would be sufficient. And then when you come inside and you complete the shechita, that's fine. You did the shechita inside, but what you did outside was considered to be shechitat chutz, and then you're going to be chayav. The madam ha'in shechita labasov, according to Reish Lakish, who says that shechita only has impact at the end, lo michayev. Over there, you're not going to be chayav because the completion of the shechita was done bifnim where it was supposed to be done. And since it was done bifnim where it's supposed to be done, your shechita is not classified as shechita b'chutz, because the moment of shechita was already bifnim. This korban is no good, but you shouldn't be chayav for shechita b'chutz, because you didn't do anything vis-a-vis shechita being paired with b'chutz. Amalei Rabba Bar Shimi, Mar lo amar hachi. Our master did not say this, Umanu, who's his Rebbe that he's referring to. Rav Yosef, this is Rav Yosef's statement. He says, Heicha deshachat siman achad b'chutz v'siman achad bifnim, nami pasul. Over there, when he does one siman outside and siman inside, it's pasul. Sharasaba maseh chatat ha'of b'chutz, because you already did an action by maseh chatat b'chutz, and that is pusel the item. Upsula the nakar Rav Yosef lavdavka the chayev nami the kuleyama. Doesn't mean pasul, means chayav over here, meaning that you would have an impact and you'd be chayav even according to Reish Lakish. Doesn't matter whether you say shchita is tchilat sof or shchita zela basof. It doesn't matter because you did an act that has significance already outside. Doesn't matter that it's shechita. Now Rashi claims that this is only an ofot. If you're doing this with a bird outside, and you shechted one siman outside, you're going to be chayav, because you did an action that has significance in the Mikdash, and even though this is an olat of, by a chatat of, it would have had significance, and since in the world of of, it has significance, when you do it b'chutz, you're going to be chayav for it. And that means both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish will say you are chayav. That's the way Rashi learns. It happens to be a case of ofot. If you did a behema b'chutz, and you checked one siman b'chutz, and then checked the second siman bifnim, Reish Lakish would believe that that is not chayav shechita at chutz, because you didn't do anything significant. By hey, you need shnayim, and you did one outside, shechita zenil basof. When you did that part, you were already inside, and there's no significance to it. The Bayit Tosafot, on the other hand, they quote Rashi and explain what he says, and they say, b'nir l'feresh t'ayri b'behema. It's speaking about a behema, and the reason is because this is an act of significance within the world of kodoshim. Maybe not by behema, by an oath, it is an act of significance. Once you've done an act of significance, michutz to mikdash, you're going to be held accountable for that. You're chayav for that as shkitat chutz. So Tosfot sees this speaking even about behema, because Rashi only sees this speaking about a bird. So then, according to Rav Yosef, if they would agree in that case, then lonechko ela kagon sheshachat miut simanim b'chutz v'gamero bifnim. It's only the case where you do a miut on the outside, and then you finish it off inside. The manda amar yesh shechita mitchilat v'atzov mechayev. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say you're chayav shkutei chutz because you did shechita b'chutz. Yes, you finished it bifnim, but you still did an act that's deemed shechita b'chutz. because you never took an action that was significant within the world of Kodoshim outside. Miut simanim is not significant. And therefore, when you completed it, you wiped out whatever you did bachutz, because you didn't do anything significant bachutz, and you're not going to be chayav for shchitat chutz, according to Reish Lakish. Now we're going to challenge this from the Para Aduma, which is Meitiv Rabbi Zera. Kol oskim bepara mitchila ba'atzof mitamim begadim. Anybody who's involved with the Para Aduma from beginning to end, that means from the beginning of the process of making the Efera Para, all the way to the end of that process, where it's already ashes, anybody involved in it comes into contact and works with it, will have a din that they will be tmeim, and their clothing will also become tmeim. Uposlim ota b'melacha acheret. If while you're doing the Para Aduma, you're also engaged in another activity, you're somehow distracted or doing something simultaneously, that will also be posel the Para Aduma. So for instance, if you're shechting the Para Aduma, and while you're shechting it, you're also cutting zucchinis with that same knife, that would be posel the Para Aduma. You must be solely focused on the Avodat HaParah. Any distraction, anything that is a melacha beyond that which is of the Para Aduma, will be posel the Para Aduma. Irava psul b'shchitata. Something goes wrong during the shchita, ben kodem psula, ben achar psula, whether before the psul happens or whether after the psul happens, eina mitameh begadim, then the din of timat begadim doesn't apply. Meaning that you have now rendered the Para Aduma psula, and since the Para Aduma is psula, anybody who engaged in it until now wasn't dealing with a Para Aduma. Since they weren't dealing with the Para Aduma, there's no tumat begadim that's associated with it. Bahazata, on the other hand, if the psul happens while you're doing the hazaot that are required towards Pnei Ol Moed, that you have to do sheva hazaot with the dam of the Para Aduma towards the doorway of the Ol Moed from Har Zeitim, if kodem psula, if you worked with the Para Aduma before it became pasul, mitama begadim. The achar psula, after it becomes pasul, ain't a mitama begadim, because it's no longer a kosher Para Aduma. Whatever you do afterwards, you're dealing with chulin now, not with a Para Aduma. V'yamart, yesh nal shchita mitchila v'atzof. If you believe shchita is a process, then liflog nami bishchitata. Why don't we also divide up shchita and say anybody who dealt with shchita until the point of psul will also be tamei. Anybody who dealt with it afterwards will not be tamei. Why don't we make the same distinction that we make by hazaah, that when it becomes pasul, then anybody before that line is tamei, everybody after that line is tahor. Why don't you say the same thing by shchita? You should say, anybody involved beforehand would be mitamei. If you believe that shchita mitchilat sof, that means the beginning process of shchita before it became pasul was an action, an avoda on the Para Aduma. Amar Rava, Rava gives the answer that you just suggested. Nitkal kala shchitata kamart. You said something went wrong in the shchita. Shani otam digle milto de mafreya de lav shchita hi klau. Because that shows retroactively there is no shchita at all. Or in essence, what he's suggesting over here is, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, who believes a shchita mitzkila itself, there has to be a shchita in the end. If you don't have a shchita, you can't claim there's a shchita mitzkila itself. What you do in the beginning is not shchita unless you complete the shchita. So yes, retroactively, when you've completed the shchita, then it's shchita mitzkila itself. But if you never complete the shchita, it's not a shchita even according to Rabbi Yochanan. There's nothing that's deemed to be a shchita. For Reish Lakish, it's clear that way. Until you reach the end, there's no shchita. But for Rabbi Yochanan also, until you reach the end of the shchita, then you can speak about it being a process. But unless you reach that threshold, it's nothing beforehand was considered shchita, and that's a psul meikaro. And therefore you never got to the point where it's deemed to be a shchita, or deemed to be a para aduma. Rashi says over here that psul b'shchitata is kogon shenit navla, that it, something went wrong and he made it into a nevela. Meaning that something really went wrong during the shchita, and he did something that makes it into a nevela, which undermines the shchita completely. Now, then the Balei Tosafot says Rabbeinu Tam mefereish psul shel melacha acheret dumya dehazaah. He says that the psul over here is not a psul in the shchita that makes it into a nevela, but a psul in dinei para aduma, which is that during the shchita you're also cutting zucchinis or doing something else with the knife at the same time that you're doing the shchita. In that case, that's the psul that we're speaking about over here, not an inherent psul that makes it into a nevela. That, he says, is obvious, that wouldn't be shchita mitchilat sof. Over here, the shchita is a good shchita, really. The problem is a din in para aduma, and that's the chiddush of Rabbah. Of course, if you didn't do a shchita and you made it into a nevela, nobody would think that you did shchita, because otherwise it wouldn't be a nevela. And that's why it's not a good shchita. So what Rashi says, he says, doesn't make so much sense. That's an inherent din in shchita. What we're saying here is this is unique about Para Aduma. even though this is a kosher shechita outside the world of Paraduma, since in the world of Paraduma it makes it psula, that's what he's saying, that even according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says mishchita itself, it's got to be a kosher shechita within the world of Paraduma. If it doesn't work of shechita in Paraduma, then it's not deemed to be a shechita at all for Paraduma, and it undermines the whole thing. Even though outside the world of Paraduma, it would have been just a fine amarava. Ikashali, hakashali. If I have a question, this is the question that bothers me. Why don't they argue with the making the para kasher? Two people came to sheft it. The gavra kama lo mitama. The first person should not have tumat bigadim. The gavra batra mitamu. And then the second one should become tameh. If you believe shechita mitchilat sof, that means anybody involved in the process of shechita is going to be mitama bigadim, because it's all classified as shechita. For Shlakish, where only the final moment is classified as shechita, then only the person that crossed that threshold should be mitama bigadim. The guy who led in and started the shechita, he shouldn't be tama. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Trei gavrei b'chad zivcho kamart? Wait a minute, you're telling me two people shechting a korban, bar minei da'u? That's not a question at all. Now, it's clear here that the Parah Aduma is not a korban, but it has a din like a chatat. It's called a chatat, and therefore many of the dinim of Parah Aduma are parallel to that of kodoshim, and it's viewed as being kodoshim, even though it's not really kodoshim. So the same restriction that we have by kodoshim, that you're not allowed to have two people shecht one korban, we're going to have that same restriction apply by the Parah Aduma, and they bring the limud that we had on the first half of today's daf, which is the Tanina. Tizbach, shlo yeshnaim shochtim zebach echad. Tizbach teaches you that only one in the singular should be shecht in the animal, not multiple people. Tizbachu, shlo yeh achad shuchet shnei zbachim. And then Tizbachu teaches you that Tizbacheyu, and then Tizbachu, since it would have been enough with Tizbach we had on the who says that one person should not shecht two animals. Over here we're after the first half, this is two people shechting one animal. The chadchila, you shouldn't do that. So of course that's not what the Mishnah is going to be speaking about. From a Rav Gana, Tizbacheyu k'tiv. Even though it writes Tizbachu in the Torah's decree, the way it's written is Tizbacheyu, and that's how we get the limud, like we discussed on Amud Aleph.
So Tosafot over here is somewhat perplexed by the rejection of this by the Gemara, because we just said, and we're going to say it in the upcoming Mishnah, that when it comes to someone who does a shechita on two kodoshim, that's only a psula chatchila, but b'diavad it's kasher. And so the din should be, when two people shecht a single korban, that should only be a psul lechatchila and not a psul b'diavad. If that's the case, then this is still kosher b'diavad. And if that's the situation, why can't this be a part of this Mishnah in Para? Why are we rejecting it? So the Balei Tosafot over here suggests that because it's something that's b'diavad, it's lo shchiach. And since it's lo shchiach, it's not a type of case you'd want to include in a Mishnah to give you a nafkamina. On the other hand, there are many other Rishonim, including the Balei Tosafot themselves in Yoma, that suggest that the assumption that just because when an individual shechs two korbanot, that is problematic, lechatchila, but kasher b'diavad, so too, two people shecht a single korban is also only a problem lechatchila, but kasher b'diavad is a leap of faith that is incorrect. And therefore they believe that, based on this Gemara, if two people shecht a single korban, that's even pasul b'diavad, and that's why this is a undermining of that possibility of including such a case in the Mishnah in Parah.
Amar Abaye, lavit maralah. Don't we have said about this? Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, zo divrei Rabbi Lazar be Rabbi Shimon. That limud with regards to this issue is a din of Rabbi Lazar be Rabbi Shimon stimta. Even though it's a stam statement and a stam mishnah, nevertheless it is a statement that has attribution to Rabbi Lazar be Rabbi Shimon. Av chachamim omrim bet shochatim zebach echad. That even two people can share a single zebach. So first of all, this is a dat yochid. If it's a stam statement, and you think its attribution is to the rove, then you have a good point as to why it's not included in the Mishnah by Parah Aduma. On the other hand, if it's a individual, it's a dat yochid, then what's the chap that's not included in the Mishnah? It's a dat yochid. But the rove believe otherwise, and you should have included it in the Mishnah. And Rashi makes an interesting point over here. Sheish Mishno Breita Harbei. We have many Mishnayot in Breito. Shamar Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbi Lazar ben Shimon, the Tana said, Uregelim atanaim l'sadram b'mishnah b'lashon stam. And the Tanaim put it into the Mishnah b'lashon stam. It's interesting, because what does that mean? Rabbi was the Masadar of Mishnah. He's the Masadar of Mishnah in the Breito. Then he's the one to determine where it was stam. What does it mean, Tanaim? So it means that the Rabbi got a Masorah about a Mishnah or something else that had Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's attribution in it, and it wasn't written. It was already a Stam Mishnah before Rabbi touched it. That's what it seems like from Rashi. And then Rashi says that even we have that Rabbi Yochanan had a Masorah, that this Stam was attributable to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. It wasn't a halacha like this. For the Chachamim, now it's clearly a question, because two people can do the Shkita, and then it should have been brought in the Mishnah. And even according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Nami Liflo Kagon, you could create a case where, again, the Shkita is split in half in the following. The Shachat Chad Gavra Bishnei Sudarim. It's an individual who had two different turbans on. He started out the Sudar Kama, Lo Mitama. The first turban, when he started the Shkita, should not be Tamei. The Sudar Batra Mitamei. And the second turban he wrote, at the end of the Shkita, should become Tamei. Obviously, he didn't switch it. Someone came, pulled off his turban for him, and put on a new one. Ella, Bipsula, Bavpara, Kamari, Bakshara, Lo Kamari. We're dealing with things that are posel paraduma. We're not dealing with actions that are in the hekshar of paraduma. The theme of the Mishnah are things that ruin the paraduma. And what is the threshold for tuma when something gets ruined? Enoch Hanami, had you spoken about the proper processing of the paraduma, you would have other nafkaminot in between shkita mitklad sof versus shkita enel basof. But that's not the topic of the Mishnah. Had that been the topic of the Mishnah, Enoch Hanami, it should have been included. Topic of the Mishnah in Parah is what makes it psula, and when it makes it psula, is that then render the entire thing psula even retroactively, or is it only a prospective psula, and therefore anybody who dealt with it until that point in time has his begadim become tameim? So that's why thematically it's just not relevant to the Mishnah. But in Achanami, these are nafgaminot that would be available had the Mishnah dealt with the issues of hechsher. Now the Gemara is going to continue and bring other issues down. What I want to discuss here is the psak halacha. This turns out to be a major machloket arishonim as to whom the halacha is like over here. Reish Lakish or Rabbi Yochanan. We generally have a principle. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, halacha ger Rabbi Yochanan. Halacha would be like Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara brings three exceptions where we paskin like Reish Lakish versus Rabbi Yochanan. This is not one of those exceptions. So it seems to be an open and shut case. If you have a machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, the halacha is going to be like Rabbi Yochanan. And that's the way the Rambam paskins over here. The Rambam in Hilchot Shkita, Perek Dalet Halacha Yud Gimel says, Yeshna l'shkita to mitchila v'ad sof. And again in Psulei Muktashim, Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Chet, he says, Sheyeshna l'shkita mitchilata v'ad sof. He says it straight out, Halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. On the other hand, the Baal Tosafot, here the third Tosafot on Chavtet Amud Bet, says, Af agav, the Rova Srile Hochi be Perek Bet is Vachim, even though Rova, who is a Bachra, holds like Reish Lakish. Even though that's the case, they don't mention in the exceptions the Gabe Rabbi Yochanan. Mishom, that this is not Reish Lakish's opinion over here, the Mishmei the Levi Saba Amra. So he says this is not a classic Machloka Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, because over here Reish Lakish is quoting Levi Saba. And therefore it's a Machloka Rabbi Yochanan and Levi Saba. And the Gemara in Perek Bet, in Zvachim, the Gemara over there seems to indicate that Rova believes that Eina Shkita Ela Ba Sof supports that position of Reish Lakish. Rova is a Bachrav. He's possibly like Reish Lakish. Means Halacha should be like Reish Lakish. And you ask me, why isn't it in the exception of the rules? It's not part of those rules because it's not a Machloka, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. And therefore the Baal Tosafot say we should paskin like Reish Lakish. So now that's a serious question on the Rambam. Why did the Rambam paskin Mitzchilat Sof if Rova is paskin the other way around? So the Yad HaMelech, I sent these out to you last night, you can see it, the Yad HaMelech discusses this issue, discusses the machloka between them, and he shows that the Gemara in Zvachim, where Rova states it, is not Rova stating his opinion, but rather Rova stating that if it's Shkita Mitchilat Sof, this would be the halacha, and over there it's a machloka Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. And in Rova setting it up that way, and saying Yesh Shkita Mitchilat Sof, he's actually assigning Mitchilat Sof to Rabbi Meir's opinion. And that means that he thinks that Rabbi Meir is the author of the position of Mitchilat Sof. And then, even when we say Halacha is like Rava because he's a Bachra, the truth is Rava is actually making it that the Halacha is not like that. Because he's assigning it to Rabbi Meir, and the Halacha is not like Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir, Halacha ke Rabbi Yossi. And therefore he says that's the Rambam's reasoning as to why he paskins like Rabbi Yochanan over here, because Rava doesn't support Reish Lakish. He makes Rabbi Meir the author of that opinion that's supporting Reish Lakish. And that means that the halacha is not going to be like Rabbi Meir, because we don't paskin halacha ke'acherim, which is Rabbi Meir. And so therefore, he says that's the reasoning behind the Rambam's position. But then he does leave the Rambam in its Tzarchion, because listen to what the Rambam says. He says, Hitchil ha'akum lishchot miut simanim v'gamar Yisrael, o Yitchil Yisrael v'gamar ha'akum psula, because Yesh l'tchitra mitchila v'atzof. Because there's shchita from tchila v'atzof. Rambam says here, the reason that when the akum gets involved is a problem is because you hold of yesh shchita mitchila v'atzof. The Gemara over here said, we were indifferent. Rova said here that both Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan agree, if the akum does something in the shchita, it's significant enough to make it a treifa, then it doesn't matter. Even if you believe that shchita is v'atzof, the akum did something that's of significance. So he says, he leaves it at Tzarachion, why the Rambam comes to the conclusion, based on the situation of Akum, Yesh L'Shkinta Mitchila Tzof is not relevant over here. Even if you believe it's Besof, it would have been Pasol. Even though, again, it is the sheet of the Rambam that he paskins that way, but it shouldn't be relevant in this case. This Halacha is Muskam Alakol, that when the Akum is involved, it is Pasol. So we'll just leave that as a Tzarachion.
And you can take a look in the Lecha Mishnah, who distinguishes between Rashi's explanation here of the beginning of the Shkita by the Akum versus the Rambam's understanding of what it meant over here. And in that way, he tries to avoid the problem that is raised by the Yad HaMelech.
And we're going to stop here, 6 lines down on the top of Lamed Amud Aleph.